morning, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. It's January 25th, almost the end of January. Okay, seems like a minute ago I said it was the beginning of January. Okay, it's 2024, quite obviously. Okay, I've got a nice show for you today with my good friends from COSIN, Consortium for School Networking, basically the School District Ed Tech Directors Association. Okay, that's basically what COSIN is. It kind of helps a little bit. Most of the folks involved in there are right there. We're going to talk about the new, and they have new framework guidances, resources, alignments, if you will, okay, for the National Institute of Standards and Technology Cybersecurity Framework. And cybersecurity, whenever you ask an ed tech director, their number one concern, okay, is cybersecurity, protecting the school district, the kids, et cetera, et cetera. All right, so we're going to talk about how this framework may help, and I hope it does, not only members of COSIN, it encourages people to join COSIN, but also, okay, all school districts in terms of what they need to do in order to protect all their students. And on that, we've got Gary Lackey. I'm going to bring him on in just a minute here. Gary's the director of cybersecurity at Goose Creek CISD. That's right near Houston, okay, for their school district, right, CISD. And also, although she's not here yet, Amy McLaughlin is supposed to be here from COSIN. She's the project director for COSIN Cybersecurity. Hopefully she will call in. She hasn't called in yet. We're going to archive the show over at ace-ed.org, ACE-ED.org. That's the home website of our American Consortium for Equity in Education. I'm laughing because I think you can hear I have a cold. Okay. Our American Consortium for Equity in Education. Again, ACE-ED.org. Our magazine is up there honoring our Equity Award winners. We just put it up there. All our podcasts are over there, plus a ton of other information. So please get involved with us. Everything we do over there is free. Okay, and it's very important that equity be continuing in school districts all over the country. We want to make sure that that's all it means is every kid gets the education they deserve. So please check it all out at ace-ed.org. Okay, that's equity is a standard bearer, of course, of everything, including COSIN. And without further ado, let me bring on the one, the only, Gary Lackey. Hi, Gary. It's Larry here.
Hi, Larry. It's good to be here.
Good to have you here, my friend. How's life down in – well, where are you around Houston? I know you're around Houston, but where are you around Houston?
We are on the east side of Houston, so just outside of Houston on the east side, although Houston's quickly swallowing everything up. But we're right here where all the chemical plants and all the concrete is around here, and it's really wet and rainy down here.
Oh, really? Well, I'm sorry to hear that. I'm sorry about the Texans. Right. Sorry about that.
Always next year.
Yeah,
they did.
They had a good season. What the heck? You know, only a few teams made it as far as they did. So good enough. They have a great logo. So I like that. So that's okay. That was cool. All right. And we'll see what happens this weekend. Gary, Amy isn't here, so you're going to carry the ball today. Okay.
Sounds good.
And as soon as she gets here, I'll bring her on. Okay. Hopefully she's okay and everything's fine. Okay. And she is out way on the West Coast, so it's pretty early in the morning, so let's give her a chance to still take another swig of coffee, all right? COSIN, again, I'd like to just simplify it, the Ed Tech Directors Association, okay, for school districts, all right? I said cybersecurity is probably, whenever I talk to COSIN, that's always the top thing that comes up. Put it in perspective from your role, literally in the trench, okay, in the trenches, not literally, virtually, in the trenches, okay, doing this every day. You're not in a trench. Doing this every day.
You know, sometimes it feels like a trench.
And that's exactly what I meant, but it's still a virtual trench, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So just talk about what this all means to you. And again, the NIST framing is the National Institute of Standards and Technology, right? That's what we're talking about here.
Yes.
Right? And they must think, this is a part of the U.S. Department of Commerce, so they must think that cybersecurity is really a big deal, and now we're putting it into the school districts. Talk about how it works from your point of view. Why do you need something like this from COSIN? And you becomes every school district in the country. Go ahead.
Exactly. And so, like you said, I mean, the NIST Cybersecurity Framework itself is a national standard that was developed. And as technology has continued to progress, this has become obviously a bigger issue. And so we're seeing the same thing in schools across the nation, really across the world, where we're trying to use technology more and more to help students learn. And so because of that, we're using more technology resources. We are giving more devices to students. And so that footprint of access for attackers just continues to grow and grow. And so if we're not careful, as we do that, and if we don't properly secure those devices, the attackers are always going to be looking for ways to get in. And so all we're doing is giving them more and more opportunities. And if we just do that without thinking about it, it's going to cause a situation where it's going to be easy for them to get in and attack us, to steal our data, and then use that maliciously or use it for extortion or whatever their gains are. And so we've got to focus on what we have and how do we secure it. And it's become very critical if we're going to continue using technology to teach students, that we make sure that is information is secured.
And you use that term attackers, okay, which is the appropriate term, I might add, but it's just astounding that we have to use that in terms of a school district's technology. All right.
Yep.
And I understand the ransomware and I understand all that, but and I know most people who work in school just don't even think about this, but you do. Okay. And the ed tech directors do. And and on that note, I have to ask, and you have limited resources, and quote, the attackers seem to have unlimited resources. Okay. Where yours are limited. Are they ahead of the game? Where, how do you even possibly keep up with this? That's brutal.
It is, to be honest, and there's a lot of tools out there that can do that are doing a lot of good, but like you said, I mean, we're outnumbered because many of them are in big organizations, and they have lots of resources. They can, if they can get botnets and have those devices attack other people, there's obviously different trends or different categories of attackers. There's some that are just out there just pushing scripts out that don't really know what they're doing. And then there's others that know what they're doing, and they can sit there and collect resources for months in advance and then attack and get a huge gain out of that versus just ransomware and getting very little but still causing harm. And so there's different categories, but yes, there are so many of them, especially in other countries, but they're also here in the U.S. that are attacking. Now, there's a lot of schools, and so a lot of times it's the ones that are least secure, they're going to get attacked first, because if they come across a good defense, then that may slow them down. But it doesn't mean that you're impervious to an attack later on. But the stronger you can make yourselves, the longer you may be able to delay that, but a lot of times we say it's not if, but when it's going to happen. And so you really got to be prepared for trying to prevent that, but also knowing that if it does happen, what are you going to do after the fact?
Right. And by the way, I forgot to mention, I have it linked here, but COSIN.org, or you can just Google COSIN Cybersecurity NIST Framework. Okay. If those things will work and get you to what we're talking about here. Okay, but COSIN's working again to put a framework for resources together for school districts to understand all this and make sure that they have an agenda, so they're not handling this. If I may, I hope I'm right here, Gare, haphazardly. There's an organized way to handle this, and that's what we're really talking about here, is getting this organized. Okay, organized.
Yeah.
If I may, organizing the defense. Okay, and if you don't mind, you could come up here and talk to the Patriots about that. Okay. Sorry. New England here. Okay.
Yep.
Now, let me change that. Go to my hometown, the Eagles. All right?
There you go.
Philadelphia Eagles. That's better. Okay? They need a good defense. Probably COSIN should help them. Okay? As well as help school districts. Okay? It's that simple. And I want to go down this list. And I have to ask one thing, and I don't know if this is an appropriate question. At Goose Creek, how many kids go to Goose Creek? How big is it?
We have 24,000 students.
Wow. Okay, that's a lot of kids. I talked to a district yesterday in Montana with 247 students.
Yep.
Okay, so there you go. You know, whole district.
I know, we feel like we're big, but then just to the, you know, once you get to Houston,
exactly.
I mean, you're talking about hundreds of thousands in multiple school districts. So we're large, but there are some that are even bigger that are right around us.
They're all huge around there. Okay, they're big and they're important. All right, and on that note, and I don't know if this is an appropriate question. Do you see attacks coming in at Goose Creek? Have there been any attempts? I don't know. Is that an appropriate question?
It is, and honestly, in a sense, it's kind of hard to answer because, yes, I mean, every single minute, if not every single second, we're seeing attacks. Now, a lot of those attacks are getting blocked, because obviously a fireball is going to do a lot of good to block, but the world has come down to,
well,
any resources out there is going to be attacked almost immediately. People say that you can create a server and put it on, and if you get put on the internet, used to it maybe days before you see it, but researchers have found out that they can spin up a brand new server, spin it up usually in the cloud, but it doesn't really matter because they essentially expose it to the internet, and usually within seconds or minutes, it's already being attacked by people. So there are people out there simply scraping the internet for servers or computers to attack. And so anything that's exposed to the internet is going to be attacked almost on an ongoing basis. And so a lot of those very basic attacks are getting blocked. So we don't have a whole lot of serious attacks coming in constantly, but they are there. And so we do see attempts of people to try to log in, try to steal credentials and try to log in as individuals and gain access to that information. Same thing that people are probably seeing as well. But, yes, we do see attacks nearly every day. Now, again, a lot of those are getting blocked by our defenses, but they are happening.
Okay, I have to ask one other question, then we're going to get into the details. Why are they doing this? What do they want? What's at a school district where kids are doing work on computers that these lunatics want? What do they want?
Well, it really all boils down to money. And so either one, if I can get ransomware on a machine and cause it where you can't do your work and so you've got to go pay X amount of dollars to get your work back, or if they can lock up your server so now no one can enter data or get data out and then you've got to pay a ransom to get that out, that is part of their goal. But we also see for students – what they're also after, in addition to just their basic ransomware and wanting to get money, they're really obviously two things. We've seen attacks against payroll. That was a trend a couple years ago where they were getting into bank accounts or at least into the HR systems and diverting funds, and so stealing people's paychecks and putting those on to prepaid debit or credit cards and stealing the money that way. But then also just the fact that, you know, we talk about healthcare as a critical data, and so people want to steal healthcare
right.
data. Well, just like that, our student social security numbers. And so a student who is years old has a very clean social security number and can get credit. And we're not going around. I've got young kids. I'm not going around checking their credit scores. And so if they can steal that data, I mean, we have 24,000 students. Now, obviously, some of those are in the older group in high school, but there's also a lot of them that are younger. And if they can steal that data, there are a lot of great, clean Social Security numbers that they can use and sell in the black market for a lot of money, because the younger that student is, the more their Social Security number is worth, because they can use that for a long – or whoever they sell it to can use that for a long time, because most of us are not going and checking their credit scores and realizing, you know, 13 years later – that they have a horrible credit score because someone stole their Social Security number. Of course, they're not monitoring it. And so, you know, 24,000 clean social is worth a lot.
Wow. It's scary stuff, and you're responsible for Goose Creek, okay?
Yes, sir.
And if you think about it, there's districts everywhere across the country. And, you know, not every district belongs to Coast. They should. Okay. Not every district has a quote dedicated ed tech director. They should, but they can't afford it. You know, little tiny rural districts, but they still need all this information.
Yep.
All right. So where do we go from there? Which again, it's a good cycle here. That's a good reason to join COSIN, because you really need to do these things. So let's go over. I want to go over this. Okay. And this is really cool. This is the actual framework. All right. I'm just going to go the five key concepts here, Gary. which are, and by the way, I linked this over there, but we're going to go over each one. I by the way, this was supposed to be Amy's question. I got that on my little sheet here, so you're going to have to handle this. But handle it just from your point of view, okay, which is identify, protect, detect, respond, and recover. Hopefully there's nothing to recover from, all right? But let's talk about, you can do all the others. You don't have to recover from anything. Talk about this identify. You know, it's like each one of these has six categories underneath it. Where the hell do you start? How much does this cost? What do you need to do to all this? Identify, let me run down these categories. Identify asset management, the business environment the district is in, the governance of the district, and the ed tech risk assessment, risk management strategy, and supply chain risk management for all your vendors and everything. And that's just under the first thing, which is identify the challenge. How do you, hello, what do you have a staff of 300 handling this? What do you got, Google 25,000 people at your, real help, Gary?
No, you're actually right. I mean, when you get into the cybersecurity world, there is a lot of information. And so I think that's where a lot of districts have, especially those without the resources, without a dedicated cybersecurity person, very limited IT staff that would normally be responsible for a lot of this, or at least helping start a lot of it. It can be very overwhelming, but a lot of these different frameworks have a method of going and kind of doing a self-evaluation where you can look at each of these categories and say, how are we doing with this? And so you kind of have to look at your own systems, and sometimes it can get hard to understand. And there are companies out there that will come in for a fee, but generally it's not super high. That will come in and help you know where you stand on this. And that's really a good place for most people to start. If you don't know where to start, at least have another company come in. And there's a lot of different frameworks that you can utilize that come pretty close. But the basic thing is coming down and, like you said, identify. There's so many different things underneath it. But what that really boils down to is you really can't protect what you don't know. And so trying to understand, and it definitely gets very, very convoluted and very complicated, again, with all the different technology we use, the third parties we use, there's a lot of stuff there, and so it gets very hard to manage. But do you know what devices you have? Do you even know what devices are yours on your network? Because if you're allowing just anybody on your network, well, guess what? There's probably a handful of attackers out there that are connecting somewhere and getting access to your networks because you've allowed that. And so that's really what the whole identify category boils down to. Again, there's a lot of information there, but what it really boils down to is, do you know what you have and where it is, and also what protection methods you have? And then, again, as you go through and you evaluate and say, well, how well do we protect this? So that's kind of the next category is under protect. Are you training users? Are you trying to secure data? What different tools do you have in place for that? And there's a lot of different pieces, and there's a lot of different descriptions of each of those. But as you said, there's a lot of information there. And really what we are trying to help people understand is stop trying to look at everything and do everything at once. Do it a little bit at a time. If you can go out and at least understand what you know and what you don't, so if you take this whole list, even though it seems very, very difficult, take it and check off the ones that you understand and work on those, and then try to get down to the rest of them, and then figure out where are we lacking, where do we not have anything in place to understand what's going on, and let's focus on that. And focus, you know, how do you eat an elephant one bite at a time? Focus on one at a time, because the goal is not we're going to take this framework and all of a sudden next year we're going to, or however long, we're going to be 100% better or however much. It's really a continuous process of improvement, and so that's really what we try to do with some of the resources is, again, a lot of schools are also limited on funding. They're limited on staff,
exactly.
And so we'll try to get some resources to say, if you don't know where to start, here's a free resource and get you started. Is it the best one out there? Well, no, but if you can afford to pay for a better tool, those are probably out there. But you're probably already using them. If you knew that you needed it, you're probably already using it. But these resources are especially for the smaller districts who don't have a clue. If I tell you, you need to go do under respond category response planning. Well, I don't know where to start. Here are some resources to help you know where to start and what to utilize. And so that's really what that guide was developed for, is to try to help break down some of these pieces into some actual actionable items that you can go out and research to help you meet that need. But yes, it is a lot of information, and that's what I think is so difficult for some districts. Is you look at it and go, "There's too much here, I can't do it." But you've really got to stop and just break it down into smaller pieces and work on it a little bit at a time.
And how many? You're a district of 25,000, a pretty sophisticated district. How many people work in your IT department? With you, boss.
For me, really, there's only probably half a dozen. There's a couple that are under me, and then there's also a couple that I work closely with that would help resolve the issues in our essentially our server security department, our system admins. That would help secure the district. We obviously have a lot more people that go out and help with the computers and the issues there, but the core staff that's probably really going to help focus on that piece would be probably about half a dozen.
And how many people work in the total IT department for the school district? I'm just curious, just trying to get a number.
Somewhere between
total
50 and 60.
Really?
If you include all the technicians that go out and work on work specifically at the campuses on the computers, it's about that. But you start cutting that down pretty fast when you cut out some of the frontline technicians that are on the computers and when you get to the end of the core technology, it's a bit smaller. But overall, it's about 50 to 60 to help support all the different technologies. But again, that's a lot of stuff there. That includes educational technologies as well to help the teachers teach. And so there's still a lot of stuff going on.
There really is. And I'm just trying to get in my head. And you know, as I said, I talked to a small school, Montana school district yesterday. And, you know, they probably don't have 100 people working at the they probably don't have 50 or 60 people working at the whole district. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. And here you are with 50 or 60 just in your district handling IT. Okay. And then you go into the back room and it's your guys just plodding away down there. I hope they are all appreciated for the work they do, because they're the people that nobody ever sees. They're down in the bunker somewhere. You know, you're in a protected bunker, I'm sure, 3,000 feet below the earth.
And like
earth.
You said, I mean, we know a school district that's a rural district, not too far, maybe a couple hours away from us. And honestly, there's probably some that are closer. They're the same that have two people, the director,
exactly.
And then one person works under them. I know one district that's not too far away that's actually a pretty good sized district where their chief of police is also the technology director.
Oh,
I mean, that's two roles that you wouldn't
you
think
go.
Would be the same, and so that's what we're facing in education.
Yeah, and they have the same responsibilities. I know it's
exactly.
They have fewer people, but they have the same responsibilities, which brings me to my next question. Okay, when you look at the this framework, and again, I'm going to go down just the categories, which are identify, protect, detect, respond, and recover, and there's 10 things under each one of those, like figure an old school outline, something like that. Okay, all the subcategories. How many of these things can be done by a non-human? Okay, that you can buy a product or service, or if I may, today's AI, okay, that can handle this instead of a human being? Because obviously school districts, we know they do that. The people aren't out there. How many, what's going on out there with that?
You know, there are a lot of them. I don't know if I can give you an exact number of or percentage of them, but there are a lot of them that can be. Because even under the identify, it always helps to have a person double-checking, obviously, and making sure that that information is correct. But a lot of that identify, you could use some sort of a computer resource to figure those things out and to manage some of that and then have reports that maybe someone actually looks at to figure out, you know, where do they need to go do a little more research. But a lot of that is
– excuse me.
A lot of times we have to pull reports from different sources because we don't always know, say like your computer inventory, you may try to pull reports from your antivirus and maybe you have to pull it from your DNS. There's maybe different sources we try to pull together. But, again, that's something that a computer could do and gather that information together and then try to figure out who's accessing that information. So it may take some time, but a lot of that information under identify there's a lot of it. Maybe not everything, because some of it gets down to policies and procedures. So that may be a little bit more where you have to have someone actually physically looking at those policies and procedures. But everything else under there could be done by computer. When you get to protect, a lot of that is done with computers. So the whole second category under protect really deals with your antivirus and what you put in place. Now, a lot of that still requires people to put those processes in place, but oftentimes you could pay another company to come in and help you secure your environment. But a lot of that information is something that a computer could do, or you could use technology to help make sure that that happens correctly. When you get to the third category under detect, it never hurts. I mean, one of our greatest resources is our people. Knowing that, hey, this just doesn't seem right, right? So we get a phishing email. A lot of our technology resources can detect phishing emails, and that's an anomaly. And they can pull stuff out, but then sometimes there's always the attacker that is going to find a way through those defenses. And so it almost always ends up coming down to a person. But under the detect category, looking for anomalies and events, that is something that computers are excellent at doing. And there's a lot of resources that can tell you, hey, why is this person logging in from China? They never log in from China. Why is this person emailing this person when they never email that person?
Wow.
They shouldn't be
wow.
emailing that person. So a lot of the whole detect can also be done by a person. So we've gone through three categories, identify, protect, and detect, that probably 90% of that can be done with computers, if not more. But then it's really where you get to respond and recover, where you really need those boots on the ground and understanding of what to do. There's still a lot that can use technology to help you do, but when you're trying to respond to an event, you need to know what's going on. So you may be able to have technology that can help you identify, hey, this is what happened, you know, click this button to deny access to this account and resolve the issue. Maybe that works, or maybe you need someone else to physically do it, but there are some portions of even that respond that could be you're going to want to use technology for. And so, honestly, there's a lot of this, and that's why there's so many different companies out there, but they're at a cost, and all of them are very high cost. But a lot of these, four out of the five can easily be done with a computer or technology if you have the right company doing that.
And I must say, as we wind down here, and God, by the way, you're doing a great job here. I really appreciate this, all right, as does the audience, I might add. How often does something like this need to be updated? Okay, because you guys work hard. I know Carson works hard with various frameworks to try to put together these organizational capabilities, and it works. Will they stay the same for a while, or does it need an update every year? Because we could never keep up with all the technology. We always thought having computers and technology would make it easier.
Exactly. It just gets more and more complicated.
It does.
For overall, this whole framework itself is going to stay the same for a long time. They may add some additional pieces as technology continues to improve. Obviously, as computers get faster and faster and our technologies get more involved, I guess I should say, you may see some changes. Like you may see are you integrating more into health things. We already have some concerns there. You know, some things that we forget about is when our network goes down, we have students that are monitored. That there's a nurse monitoring their health via Wi-Fi,
right.
And that's something that we never thought about. That there's actually people that are relying on that to monitor the health of a student that's on campus. And so some of those health devices, you're seeing quantum computing, you're seeing AI. So all those pieces, some of those still fall under these different categories. And so our resources that we've created, those may change as we identify. But really, we try to keep that ongoing as part of our committee to say, hey, is there anything new that we've run across that would be a good resource for other people? So as those new technologies come out, we try to add those, but this overall framework probably is not going to change significantly. And again, even as technologies change, districts still need to start with the basics and start changing. Whenever something new comes out, say we start having more quantum computing, well, we're not going to just throw everything out the window and start over. You're still going to have your basics. You just may need to tweak some of those to better protect yourself with some new technology that may be coming out. And so the overall framework really is not going to change that much with, as things change, but we may find more resources that are being developed for people. And COSIN is going to be working on developing specific resources where we know that there's not really very many resources out there for people. And that's one of the things that we've gone through and said, well, here's the resources we found.
Yeah.
Which ones really don't have anything? Which ones, if I was a district that didn't have any resources and I'm like, I need help with this, but there's nothing out there. That's kind of where COSIN is trying to step up and say, okay, well, let's develop something for them in that area so we can make sure that they have something that they can go off of, especially if they can't find – again, there's all sorts of stuff out there for cost, but especially for those smaller rural districts or those worried about budget, which is almost all of them, what are some resources that we can help develop for them to help meet that need and make sure that they're protected?
Right. Now, just as we wind down here, how long have you been working with you've been a big part of COSIN. How long have you been a member of COSIN?
Our district has been a member for quite a few years, but I've really been involved more probably in the last 2 years or so. I joined Goose Creek about 3 years ago and kind of started participating in different things. We were working on our Trusted Learning Environment Seal, which is really put out from COSIN. And so I started getting more involved with that process and then just continue to develop that and work with them in different areas.
That's good because I'll tell you, you're a terrific example of what an ed tech director should be doing. And I really appreciate you taking the time today, Garrett, to share it with us, okay? And all the work COSIN does as well. Thank you, my friend. You have a good day, okay?
Thank you,
better luck next year with football, all right? Better luck next year.
Appreciate it.
You?
Thank you.
Okay? You take care, all right? And thank you very much, Gary.
No Bye-bye. Problem. Thank you.
Bye. Wow, good guy. Okay. I'm sorry Amy wasn't here today. She's equally excellent. All right. Gary Lackey is the director of cybersecurity over at Goose Creek CISD, just outside of Houston. Okay. And that's in Texas, by the way. All right. And check out. I got it all linked here up here if you need to do more. And in school district, you should be involved with COSIN. We're going to archive the show at ace-ed.org. And on that note, I'll see you next week. My name's Larry Jacobs. Thanks for listening. Thank you.